Reading from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Yesterday at Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we heard about seeing festivals of the Lord and hearing the name and the qualities and the leelas. And this quality is number. This is the 44th limb of devotion. It's called Kripekshanam Yatadashame. This is from the 10th canto Bhagavatam, Brahma Vandanam, chapter 14, verse 8, the prayers of Lord Brahma. He's saying a very famous verse where one tolerates their karmic reactions, which may come, tolerates suffering. If our karma brings us happiness, then we don't have anything to tolerate. We simply ride the waves of our karmic happiness and relish whatever good things our good karma brings us. But also we have bad karma and we have to suffer the miseries, the setbacks, the anxieties, the frustrations, the diseases, the injuries. So Brahma is saying to tolerate all that and then continue to serve and pray to the Lord and wait for His mercy. So this is the 44th quality of bhakti, 44th limb of bhakti. Expecting the Lord's mercy. Tateno kampam susamikshamano bunjane vatma kritam vipakam ridvagva purbir viradan namaste jivetyo mukti pade sadaya bhak. Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord Krishna, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, while all the time patiently suffering reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for you the shelter of liberation, for that is his rightful claim. So Brahma is saying that if someone tolerates his difficulties, then he'll be rewarded by the Lord. In this verse, two different sadhanas are mentioned. Expecting a glance of mercy and offering obeisances are mentioned together to glorify their exalted positions. Because in the verse it says, Ridvagvapurbir viridan namaste. So that means with Ridvagvapurbir, with his heart, with his words, Vag, with his vapu, his body. And he continues to offer prayers and obeisances. Namaste means offers obeisances to the Lord. So he's expecting the Lord's mercy, the anukampam. Anukampam means mercy of the Lord. So there's two qualities mentioned here. Jiva Goswami says, expecting the Lord's mercy and offering obeisances. These two qualities or practices should both be understood to have great results. The phrase mukti pade means the Lord, the shelter of liberation. Such a surrendered person becomes the rightful claimant of the Lord, who is the shelter of liberation. The Lord exists as the property to be apportioned to the devotee. That means to be awarded to the devotee. So there's a long discussion of purport. And this is principle 45, called Smriti, remembering or remembrance of the Lord. Yata katam chin manasa sambandha smriti uchite. Somehow or other, connecting the mind to the Lord is called remembrance. So this is smriti. Smriti means to somehow or other, thinking of the Lord, somehow or other. So this is explained in Vishnu Purana. This is verse number 176. Smrite sakala kalyana bhajanam yacha jayate purusham tamajam nityam brajami sharanam harim Vishnu Puran 5:17:17. I surrender to the unborn, eternal person, Lord Hari. By remembering Lord Hari, that person who takes away, who takes possession of all auspiciousness. By remembrance of Lord Hari, one's life becomes full of auspiciousness. So this is the idea that everything kalyan, smrite sakala kalyana bhajanam yacha jayate. Kalyan means auspicious, kalyan. But so it's saying, if someone remembers the Lord, everything becomes good, fortunate, auspicious for him. And this is also described in Padma Puran. Prayane cha prayane cha yannama smaratam nrinam sadyo nashyati papogo namastasme chiratmane. I offer my respectful obeisances to the omniscient Lord. Remembrance of his name while living or dying immediately destroys mountains of sins committed by men. So this is definitely required. So Smaran, I have some note here. Because he's going to describe here, he's been describing Smaranam. There's a progression here in this discussion of Rupa Goswami, devotional limbs. Beginning with text 175, he talks about Smriti. Then he talks about Smaran, which is similar. Then he talks about Dhyanam, meditation. So there's a slight difference. The stage of Smaran, this means that the remembrance of the Lord is occasional. It's broken. Sometimes you remember the Lord and sometimes you don't. Or moreover, maybe briefly we remember the Lord, and for the most part we forget the Lord. We're so much absorbed in momentary activities and the immediate needs of the time that we don't actually think about the Lord. Sometimes we've mentioned before that we catch ourselves, we look at the clock, we're engrossed in some particular activity, traveling or moving here and there or working or whatever. Then we look at the clock and we say, oh, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's 3 p.m. And then we realize, what have I been doing? In Mangalarti, chanting japa, everything was finished by 9 o'clock. And now it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So from 9 a.m. to 3 a.m., I was busy driving, going to work, going to school, attending my classes, or doing my work at home, or whatever. And actually, honestly speaking, from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m., I don't think I remembered Krishna once. I don't even think. I was so busy, the car and the traffic and the bus and the parking and my cell phone and this thing and that thing and getting everything in order and meeting my appointments and buying sabji or whatever, that actually I was doing so much activity. My body was moving here and there. My senses were all engaged, interacting, and I was really doing a lot. I had a long list of things to do for the day. But there's one thing that I didn't do, which is the most important thing. From 9 a.m. in the morning till now, I'm looking at the clock at 3 p.m. I really haven't remembered Krishna, not once. I didn't chant his. I didn't even say Hare Krishna. Even when I was riding up the elevator to work, I didn't think, "Oh Krishna, I'm your devotee. What am I doing? I'm not even saying Hare Krishna to myself or to anybody else. Or I'm too afraid to say to any stranger Hare Krishna because I think he may hit me or something, or lock me up or whatever." I keep quiet and I move about the world. But just between you and I, between the Lord and I, because we do have a relationship, you have accepted me in your fold, but I'm not a very, very worthy son. 6 hours have just passed and I haven't said your name. I haven't thought, oh, what's Krishna doing right now at 1 o'clock? Or my Thakurji looks so beautiful this morning. Or that story I heard in Bhagavatam. I haven't, in any type of way, I haven't remembered Krishna. This is called honestly looking at oneself. Assessment, evaluation, examination, self-examination, to examine the the content of our daily life and how much we're remembering the Lord. It's not like snap, crackle, and pop. At the time of death, we'll remember Krishna. Oh yes, Hare Krishna. It's a death is practiced at every moment, because every moment we live may be our last. So death is, we're practicing for death at every moment. We are preparing for death. When Prahlad Maharaj was talking to his father, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu was saying, you're a young boy, and you should enjoy life. Study in school and learn politics and diplomacy and economics and BCom and biology and technology and IT. Learn all these things, and what is all this other nonsense? Vishnu Bhakti, Bhagavad Dharma. This is not a very good idea. You have a long life to live. And then Prahlad Maharaj said, Father, what is your definition of old age? You say I'm a young boy, I should enjoy, study, play, frolic, enjoy life. So what is your definition of old age? And then Hiranyakashipu, he said, old age means close to death. Because a person who is old, he will die very soon. His time is up, his time is out, his breath is, the countdown is there of his allotted breaths. So then Prahlad said, well, I agree, yes, you're quite correct that old does mean close to death. But in that, if that's really the definition of old age, then I, as a 5-year-old boy, am just as close to death as you are, as my 50-year-old father. And that is the real fact, that old age means close to death, and we're all old, and we're all close to death. It's not that only old people die. Young people also die. They get in accidents. They have, diseases. We even have terms. They have childhood diseases, baby disease, diseases of babies and children. So everyone's old. The newborn baby is old. The 5-year-old child is old. The adult is old. Everyone is old. So this means we're practicing for death at every moment, because we're all old, and we should practice for death at every moment. So that means that every moment should be dedicated to Krishna. Dedicate the moments of time to the service of Krishna. So this is, we're being reminded here of remembrance. Then, so smaran is defined as broken remembrance. Meditation is not steady. It's momentary remembrance of the Lord. So we have to think, have we even attained this level of smaran, which is momentary remembrance of the Lord? Shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, sakyam, dasyam, atmanivedanam. So this is hearing and chanting and remembering. So after smaran, if we actually practice smaran and we do capture the Lord in our memory throughout the day, time to time, I remember the Lord at 9 o'clock, and at 12 o'clock I again remembered him. Then at 3, and then I forgot for a few hours, and then I remembered again. And then now it's evening artik. Oh yes, the Lord again, and then I forget. So that's momentary. That's remembrance called smaran. A little more advanced than that is the next principle that he mentions. This is the 46th limb of devotion. This is dhyanam. Atta dhyanam. Dhyanam rupa guna krida sevada sevade sushtu chintanam. Dhyanam means meditation. Meditation means absorption. Very expert in contemplation. And smriti, because we talk about smriti, smriti is thinking of the Lord somehow or other. But meditation is a very pointed and exact form of absorbing our mind. So meditation, Rupa Goswami defines meditation, or dhyan, as complete, to contemplate with absorption on Krishna's form, qualities, pastimes, and service. So this is called Rup Dhyan, Guna Dhyan, or Lila Dhyan. So this means that one sits and actually concentrates on the form of the Lord. for extended periods. He absorbs his mind. What does it say? It says actually, the term is used as contemplate with absorption. We think deeply and become totally absorbed in the in the form or the qualities or lila of the Lord. So absorbed that it feels to us or it seems to us that the Lord is before us by the strength of our meditation. The Lord, we feel that the Lord's presence is within our mind by the intensity of that contemplation. So this is, of course, a much higher level than smriti or smarana. Smriti is somehow or other to think of the Lord, and smarana is to occasionally remember the Lord in a particular way. Then dhyan is to contemplate with absorption. So there are different intensities of capturing the Lord in one's mental faculty, which are part and parcels. These are all limbs of vaidhi sadhana. This is not advanced, rigorous training of the spiritually adept Raghunuga Bhakta and Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakta. These are the limbs of Vaidhi Sadhana, which are also practiced, many of them are also engaged in and practiced in during the time of Raghunuga Sadhana. There's also Smaranam, there's also Dhyanam, and worship, and all these other activities. So Narasimha Purana describes this Rup Dhyan. Bhagavat Charana Dvandva Dhyanam Nirdvandvam Iritam Papino Pi Prasangena Vihitam Suhitam Param. Meditation on the Lord's two feet is considered the means of attaining freedom from the dualities of this world. Even a sinner who casually meditates attains the highest benefit. So this is the power, the tremendous power of meditating on the Lord. That it creates all auspiciousness, just fixing our mind on the Lord is quite effortless. I mean, it may be difficult to fix the mind, but the actual practice of it does not require much expenditure of energy. Just sit down, close your eyes, and think of the Lord. And there are different books of guided meditation on lilas. Lilas are described. The form of the Lord is very beautifully described by various acharyas. And the qualities of the Lord are described in Nectar Devotion itself, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So we can read these books and get direction for our meditation. We don't have to think, I'll meditate in the form of the Lord. Oh, he's like this. Well, what will manifest in our meditation if we have no information about the particulars of the Lord's form? We have no idea of the specific attributes of the Lord's transcendental form. But the acharyas, Vishwanath, and others who are having darshan in their spurti and their deep absorption and vision of the Lord within their heart, then they have conveyed in language what they have experienced in meditation. So they've conveyed in language their meditational experiences, and they even compiled books about it. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur wrote a very small little handbook called Rupa Dhyanam Chintamani. Rupa Dhyan Chintamani. And this is a beautiful jewel of a book that describes how to meditate on the form of Radha and Krishna, individually and collectively. And of course, that's also in English. It's called Rupa Chintamani, which is all about Rupa Dhyan. So that book is reproduced in our Art of Chanting book in the chapter about Krishna's form and meditation thereon. So these very helpful books are all to improve our practice, are all given to improve our practice of Vaidhi Sadhana and Rag Sadhana, so we can actually experience what is the result of these different limbs of devotion. So we'll hear tomorrow about Guna Dhyanam and Krita Dhyanam and Seva Dhyanam. These are different types of meditation. We can meditate on the form, Rup Dhyanam. We can meditate on the qualities. We can meditate on the pastimes, like this Krita. It's called Rasa Krita, the Rasa Lila, Rasa Krita. Krita Dhyanam and Seva Dhyanam. We can meditate on one's service. So that's also described here. So we'll hear that tomorrow.